Let's call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:39 PM on Wednesday, March 3rd, 2021. Before we begin, I want to thank Shannon McLean, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Tom Raymond from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, currently we have Representative Drummond, my Vice Chair, Representative Snyder, who is here by Teams, and myself, Representative Clayman. We do not have a quorum, but it is not required because we are not taking action on any bills today. Our sole order of business today is a presentation on the Governor's appointments and Legislative Council versus Dunleavy. And online we have Megan Wallace, Director of Legislative Legal Services, and we will now open for invited testimony. As an introduction, so we'll open for invited testimony. I will, as an introduction, our office provided written questions to Ms. Wallace in advance of today's meetings. Those questions have also been distributed to the committee and were posted on BASIS. And Ms. Wallace, if you could identify yourself for the record, and you can begin your remarks. I do want to note that Representative Hannon, although not a member of this committee, has joined us and is here in the hearing room with us. And I would note for committee members, I'd ask that you save your questions to the end of the presentation. Ms. Wallace, if you want to proceed.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Megan Wallace. I'm the Legal Services Director. I know I have a list of questions here that I will go through generally one by one and answer and provide some information to the committee. But just before we dive directly into the questions, I intend to just provide a very brief synopsis of kind of what these questions relate to and how we got there. And so during the second regular session of the 31st Alaska State Legislature, so last session, before going to an extended recess due to the impacts of the coronavirus, the 31st Alaska Legislature passed HB 309, which was enacted into law as Chapter 9 SLSA 2020. And what that bill did was extend the time for which the legislature could confirm or decline to confirm an appointment presented by the governor during the second regular session of the 31st Alaska State Legislature. And so the specific provision at issue guarding the time for which the legislature had to act provided that the failure of the legislature to act to confirm or to decline to confirm an appointment presented during the second regular session would become tantamount to a declination of confirmation the earlier of January 18th, 2021, or 30 days after expiration of the March 11th, 2020 disaster declaration. And so the March 11th, 2020 disaster declaration issued by the governor expired on November 15th. Therefore, under the trigger, under HB 309, if the legislature did not act on the governor's appointments, they became tantamount to a declination 30 days after that November 15th expiration or December 15th. So in all, HB 309 provided that if the legislature did not act on the governor's appointments submitted during the regular session, they became tantamount to declination on December 15th. So despite that, the language in HB 309, through letters that were issued on December 16th, 2020, letters issued by the governor to, at the time, the current presiding officers, he stated that the appointees who had not yet been confirmed would continue to serve valid appointments. And so it was based on the governor's action in continuing the appointment of the persons at issue that legislative counsel decided to file suit in December of 2020. And on, I believe the summary judgment opinion from Judge Pallenberg, who presided over the case filed by legislative counsel, issued a summary judgment opinion on March 18th in favor of legislative counsel.
March 18th, so, February 18th.
The first question presented by the committee is what issues did Judge Pallenberg address in his final order? So after the summary judgment decision was issued by Judge Pallenberg, a final judgment in the case was entered on February 25th, 2021, which specifically finds that the legislature validly enacted Chapter 9 SLA 2020 or HB 309, and its provisions did not violate Article 3, Sections 25, 26, or 27 of the Alaska Constitution or the Separation of Powers Doctrine. As part of the lawsuit that legislative counsel initiated, the governor filed a cross motion for summary judgment claiming that HB 309 and the longtime existing procedural statute governing appointments 3905080 paragraph 3 were both unconstitutional. So not only did Judge Pallenberg's final judgment find that the legislature had validly enacted HB 309, but it also found that Alaska Statute 3905080 paragraph 3 did not violate Article 3, Sections 25, 26, or 27, or the Separation of Powers Doctrine as argued by the governor. The final judgment also recognized that Article 3, Sections 25 and 26 of the Alaska Constitution do not require the legislature to meet in joint session to decline an appointment under Article 3, Sections 25 or 26. And the final judgment goes on to confirm the language in Chapter 9 SLA 2020 that the appointments presented by the governor during the second regular session of the 31st legislature became tantamount to declination on December 15th, and that the governor had no legal authority to continue the appointments or to reappoint the same persons to those appointments after their appointment became tantamount to declination. And therefore, finally, the final judgment provides that the appointments presented by the governor were not valid from December 16th, 2020 until the time at which those appointments were, if ever, presented to the legislature during the first regular session of this legislature. So those are the issues that were addressed in the final order. The final paragraph of the final order, or the final judgment issued by Judge Pallenberg, states that the court expressed no opinion about the ability of a person to contest an action of a person whose appointment was not valid under the time in question. And so that the issue of the impact on the actions taken by the governor's appointees was not addressed by Judge Pallenberg. The next question presented by the committee relates to how the final order differs from the Judge Pallenberg's earlier decision denying the legislature's request for injunctive relief. So early after the legislative council filed its complaint in Superior Court, it sought a preliminary injunction preventing the governor from continuing the appointments as he did through his December 16th, 2020 letter to the presiding officers. And so legislative counsel presented that argument and sought that injunctive relief from the court, which the court denied at the time. And so, but the order on injunctive relief was not a decision on the merits, and therefore the case continued on. And because the issues before the court were purely legal issues with no factual material factual disputes, the case was ripe for summary judgment, and the parties immediately briefed the substance of the issues for the court on summary judgment, which was then decided on the merits by Judge Pallenberg in his summary judgment order. So the primary question that has come up since Judge Pallenberg's question is really the essence of the third question presented by the committee, which is, what is the impact of Judge Pallenberg's decision on reappointment of commissioners who were never confirmed? And this is an issue that was touched on in the litigation, in that the legislature never disputed the governor's power to reappoint persons that had been considered declined by operation of law. And the reason that the ability for the governor to reappoint these persons was not contested is that 3905080 paragraph 3 also specifically states that that the governor is only restricted from appointing the same person whose confirmation was refused for the same position during the regular session at which confirmation was refused, or whose name is refused for appointment by the legislature may not thereafter be appointed to the same position during the interim between regular sessions. So the restriction on reappointment was only in the interim between regular sessions, and that by the language in 3905080 paragraph 3, the governor was free to reappoint those persons at the beginning of this regular session, which is what he in fact did in large part. The difference between the main difference between essentially our state structure of the confirmation process and the federal is primarily our state statutes allow for appointees to begin serving immediately upon appointment, whereas federal appointees must await confirmation before they can even begin to serve in those roles. And in terms of the impact of the Judge Pallenberg decision on various categories of appointees, I'll go through those. So the first category in question is what is the impact of this decision on appointees named in 2020 before the legislature adjourned? And the example given is the revenue commissioner. As I already mentioned, it was not disputed that the governor had the power to reappoint persons who had previously been considered declined by operation of HB 309 for consideration this session. So the governor's reappointment of those persons, including the revenue commissioner, the legislature is free to consider those appointments made this session and for confirmation in a joint session sometime later this session. The next category is an appointee named in 2020 after the legislature adjourned or in 2021. The example is the current attorney general designee. The lawsuit and the Judge Pallenberg decision specifically only addressed appointments made by or submitted to the legislature by the governor during the second regular session of the 31st Alaska State Legislature. And so any appointments made after that time would follow the regular procedure for appointment, interim appointments in 3905.080. And so under that statute, those persons begin to serve upon appointment, and then their name is submitted to the legislature for consideration at the beginning of the next regular session, which is my understanding what the governor has done in our case this session. The next category is an appointee named in 2020 before the legislature adjourned who is subject to a statutory process before the governor's appointment, and the example is the public defender position. At this time, I don't feel comfortable rendering a specific opinion as to any statutory appointments. There are various appointments that have their own statutory procedures that must be complied with, and to the extent that there's any questions about the impact of the lawsuit on the public defender's appointment, at this time, given the ongoing litigation, it's best to direct those questions to the Alaska Judicial Council to see what their position on that appointment is. The final category listed ask about the Chief Justice's appointments. For example, the appointments to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, and the appointments to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics is governed by Alaska Statute 2460.130, and it requires that members be ratified by 2/3 of the full membership of the Senate and the House. There is no joint session requirement in that statute, and it's my understanding that both the House and Senate ratified the Chief Justice's appointments on the floor before going to its extended recess in 2020. So not only are the Chief Justice's appointments not subject to or not impacted by the Pallenberg decision, because the Pallenberg decision only impacts the governor's appointments made, but those appointments were dealt with by the legislature before they went on recess. Moving down the list, the next series of questions relates to whether a committee that holds a confirmation hearing has the option of either not moving the nomination forward or not holding a confirmation hearing at all, and what the impact of those decisions or inactions are on the legislature's ability to move forward with the nomination in joint session. So Alaska Statute 3905.080, again, the statute that governs the procedure for appointments, contemplates that committees will consider the governor's appointees before there is a joint session. But those provisions related to committee action or legislative procedural statutes, and it's been well established that the legislature or that the courts are generally unwilling to invalidate actions where the legislature fails to follow its own rules with respect to procedural requirements, so long as a constitutional requirement is not impacted by that procedural violation. And so it's my understanding, or this issue has never been litigated before, so it would be a matter of first impression, but I think when you look at the Alaska Supreme Court's decisions regarding the unwillingness to weigh in on matters of legislative procedure and the absence of a violation of a constitutional requirement, that the committee's failure to take up an appointment, or to not pass it out, or to hold the appointment in committee would not impact the legislature's ability to hold a vote on that appointment in joint session. In other words, the Alaska Constitution, for example, doesn't require the appointee to pass out of a committee, or to have a hearing held on that committee before the legislature has the power to confirm that individual. So, in sum, it's my opinion that even if a committee were unable or unwilling to forward the name, that when the body gets together in joint session and becomes a unicameral body, that the body can still act on that confirm or that appointment that was presented to the legislature. And then finally, the final question was about the issues that the governor is raising on appeal, and you know, while the appeal is just getting underway, the statement of points on appeal that has been filed in the appeal indicates that the governor is the points on appeal are that the Superior Court erred in granting summary judgment in favor of the legislature, and in concluding that Alaska Statute 3905-0803 and HB 309 purport to authorize the legislature to reject appointments by inaction and don't violate Article 3, Sections 26 and 27 of the Alaska Constitution. And they also contest that the governor didn't have recess appointment authority under Article 3, Section 27 of the Alaska Constitution. And I think that's all the questions you had. I'm happy to do my best to answer any additional questions that members might have, but just with the understanding that this matter is still under litigation and there are matters that I won't be able to potentially advise on at this time.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace. I would note that Representative Christ Tompkins joined us about 5 minutes ago. I don't have the exact time, but welcome, Representative Christ Tompkins. So I will open it up for questions for Ms. Wallace. I think the only new member on the committee is Representative Snyder. As a reminder, we have a tradition in this committee that questions are limited to 1 minute per question. If your time goes beyond 1 minute and you haven't posed a question, then I'll just move on to the next person who'd like to ask questions. And final comments will be taken up after questions. And so we'll open up for questions for Ms. Wallace. I note that Representative Eastman has also just joined us. Questions for Ms. Wallace. And if you're on the video screen, wave or do something so you get my attention. A very effective presentation, because it appears to have silenced all the questions. I just have a couple of questions to make sure I followed. On the question about declination of a appointee in the federal side, if a person decline, if the legislature does not act, can the president reappoint that person, or does the structure that not allow, doesn't allow them to start work until they're appointed kind of make that a moot point? And I'd recognize that Representative Kirka has also joined us. Ms. Wallace?
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that no, the president can't reappoint the same person who has been rejected, or and that historically that's not a practice that's been attempted. But I also recognize I'm not an expert in the federal appointment process, just, you know, general information.
And from the documents you've seen, on what I'll call the 2020 appointees, did the governor reappoint them with a new date of appointment when he submitted their names, or did he submit with the prior date, and is that significant?
Mr. Chair, the documents that I've seen seem to indicate that the appointment dates are the original appointment dates, meaning that a person who was appointed last session and then reappointed or resubmitted this session, the appointment dates did not change. A large number of appointments were resubmitted by the governor on January 19th, 2021, the first day of session. And so we did not have a decision on the merits by the Superior Court at the time that that submission was made to the legislature. I'm not sure what the governor's position on it is now in terms of whether that would be, you know, he would agree that those dates need updated. The term expiration dates did not change, which may be also equally important in terms of the duration of those reappointments.
Representative Remen, are you raising your phone to ask your questions or taking a picture?
I'm taking a picture.
Other questions from members of the committee? Hearing and seeing none, I will then ask if there's any further any comments from members of the committee as before we wind up. And again, Representative Eastman has served on the committee before. Representative Kirka, you're new to the committee. When we get into final comments, we typically limit it to one set of comments per member and limit it to 3 minutes. But anybody would like to make any closing comments before we adjourn for the day? Representative Eastman.
Thank you. I'd just be curious to know, now that we had the presentation and had some questions, what is the chair's wish to deal with this topic in the future? What should we expect to happen next?
Why don't we, any comments as to Ms. Wallace's presentation first? Anybody have comments as to Ms. Wallace's presentation? Ms. Wallace, thank you very much for joining us today. That was very informative and very helpful, and that will allow us to proceed forward. And so, Representative Eastman, in terms of your question, my intention will be to start hearing, I'm not sure if it's on for this week or next week, but start hearing people that have been referred to this committee for consideration as part of their nomination process. And typically we'll have them for one day unless we have a whole big sign up for public testimony, and then we might have to continue. But at least historically, as you know, we usually can finish any consideration in one hearing. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we will adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Friday, March 5th at 1:30 p.m. We will stand adjourned. The time is now 2:08 p.m.